Around the world on RyderCup.com and the official Ryder Cup app. This is Ryder Cup Radio, presented by Econocom. Day one review.
A dramatic start to the 42nd Ryder Cup saw the opening session very much go the way of the holders.
First blow of the 42nd Ryder Cup is struck, and it goes to Team USA.
Brooks Koepka and Tony Finau win, and the USA win another point.
Jordan Spieth clenches a fist, and Justin Thomas comes to meet him. It is another point for Team USA, and a mighty blow has just been struck.
But it was a totally different story in the afternoon as Thomas Bjorn's challengers came roaring back.
And that's it. It's conceded. Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson win a point for Europe here at the 16th.
What a win. Sergio Garcia, a controversial pick, comes out and helps win a point with the rookie Alex Noren.
Molinari and Tommy Fleetwood, 5-4 against the great American pair of Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas.
We'll hear from the key players from both sides as we look back on an enthralling opening day right here on Ryder Cup Radio. Hello, I'm Richard Kaufman, and what an opening day we were treated to here at the 2018 Ryder Cup at Le Golf National, not too far away from the historic city of Versailles. It was an historic kind of day, really was. I suppose Paul Ills and Matt Adams, who were with me to look back at day one, in football parlance, or soccer as they say in the United States, it was a game of two halves, Paul.
Yes, it really was. And it was a great day for Thomas Bjorn and his team from Europe. All the rookies got a chance to play, and he comes out of it with a 5-3 lead going into day two. So from a European perspective, what a brilliant day for them.
Yeah, for Team USA, a great four-ball session. A miserable foursomes one.
Yeah, there's no other way to encapsulate it. It was interesting when you talk about two halves. The golf course changed dramatically from the morning to the afternoon. The winds kicked up, and it was at least half a club wind. But the thing that I thought that was particularly challenging for the players was that a lot of the holes had crosswinds on them. And the direction that the crosswind was today happened to be where there was some very, very thick grass, probably from overspray, from fertilizer, or when they're watering the golf course, or there was a hazard down there of some sort. So it got difficult in the afternoon, and the European team played brilliantly.
A lot of talking points, a lot of action. Let's hear how this opening day's golf unfolded here at Le Golf National.
The first day's play of the 2018 Ryder Cup.
And it's very close to the water. Oh, my goodness gracious. It's literally stopped about 18 inches from the water mark.
That first tee shot at the Ryder Cup is something very, very different.
Rory's going to put out his hand, and Johnson and Fowler with the win here. First blow of the 42nd Ryder Cup is struck, and it goes to Team USA.
Wonderful putt, but he's missed it. And so Brooks Koepka and Tony Finau win against Justin Rose and Jon Rahm, and the USA win another point.
Does he like it? Does he like it? There is your answer. Tommy Fleetwood has just rolled it in from 35 feet.
Jordan Spieth clenches a fist, and Justin Thomas comes to meet him. It is another point for Team USA, and a mighty blow has just been struck.
And that is it. Team Europe has won this match. Francesco Molinari, Tommy Fleetwood over Tiger Woods and Patrick Reed.
And for Europe, and Noren holds from 4 feet. And Europe, remarkably, you're not mishearing me, a six up after 8 holes here.
And that's it. It's conceded. Justin Rose, Henrik Stenson win a point for Europe here at the 16th.
What a win. Sergio Garcia, a controversial pick, comes out and helps win a point with the rookie Alex Noren.
Off come the caps, off come the visors, and it's a win for Europe over the United States.
Molinari and Tommy Fleetwood, 5-4 against the great American pair of Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas.
Yeah, remarkable day, wasn't it? And great commentary from Sue Thurl, Carl Pawson, from Mark Farrow, from Ron Jones, Paul Eales, Dave Farrar, Gordon Brown Jr., Matt Adams, and Raymond Burns as well. Fantastic hearing it all back. And the great news is we go again for Saturday. Same story, isn't it? Going to be four balls and then the foursomes before those 12 singles on Sunday. It's why we look forward to the Ryder Cup every 2 years. Let's go through these matches then, match by match, starting with those morning four balls. Tony Finau and Brooks Koepka against Justin Rose and John Rahm. It was a tight old match. Finau nearly found the waters, we heard from Ron there at the start with his opening tee shot. Brooks Koepka missed a few putts early on, but the Americans managed to get themselves in front early on, and it was tight then all the way.
Yeah, they did. It was a great win for the Americans because they were two down going into the back nine and fought back and sort of won three out of the last six holes, I think it was, to win that game one up. So that was a huge turnaround and fighting stuff from Brooks and Tony. Tony didn't play particularly well. Brooks was missing a few putts early doors, which you wouldn't expect. So that was a huge boost for Captain Furyk.
One of the most incredible shots of the day, though, when the match was so tight, was the tee shot at the par 3 16th. Brooks Koepka and Tony Finau playing together, and Finau hits the tee shot. It looks like it's going in the water. It hits the wooden sleepers that act as a barrier between the green and the water, jumps up in the air about 20 feet and lands and stops 3 feet from the hole. Birdie two, and the USA suddenly up in that match.
I actually heard you guys talking about that in the headset when we were out on the golf course. When you're actually looking at that hole, where the hole location was today and how narrow those boards are, what is it, Ilsey? 6 inches maybe across at the top that he hit? And the fact that it could have ricocheted and caromed in any direction, and you said it went straight up?
Yep, and added 3 feet from the hole.
That's brilliant.
It is. It's one.
Sometimes fortune smiles.
I wouldn't call it the shot of the day. Something else, I think, might win it, but it's the most incredible shot of the day. Let's hear from that victorious pair, winning one up in the end, starting with Brooks Koepka.
We just hung in there all day. We felt like we battled hard. We were hitting good shots. We just never felt like we had kind of an opening until those last couple holes. And for Tony to take advantage of that break on 16 was massive. I think that's the momentum shift that we needed coming down the last two holes. And, you know, the shots he hit off the tee on 18 was a big setup for me. I felt like I could really go at it. And, you know, the shot he hit into 18, too, was very impressive. And that's why it's a team.
Tony, you've got to tell me about that 16th hole. Yeah. You've been practicing that shot, haven't you?
Yeah, I like pulling those out when it really matters. No, sometimes you get a good kick, sometimes you don't. That one was a very good kick, and we needed it. It was at the right time. You know, I was able to brush that one in and just have the momentum be on our side. So it was an incredible match to be a part of and to win it with this guy. You know, and proud of the way we hung in there. I think the reason we play together is because our demeanor, we're never up or never down. You know, we fight, never give up, and we have that attitude. You know, and I've always been that way. Brooks has always been that way. And if we weren't that way with our attitude, I don't think we'd come back and win this match. So just proud of the way we both hung in there and we're able to pull this one off. It's a big win for our team.
Yeah, it was for Tony Finau. He seemed a little nervy early on, but settled into it and, of course, ended up victorious. Match two, so Dustin Johnson and Ricky Fowler pair up against Rory McIlroy and Torbjörn Olesen. That's a match you were watching, Paul.
Yes, nothing really happened over the first seven holes. Europe went one up at the eighth hole, and then after that it was all USA, and it was a comfortable 4-2 win in the end for Dustin Johnson and Ricky Fowler. Rory didn't really fire. Torbjörn was good. When Torbjörn was out, Rory came in, but they just didn't have
in four balls, though, Paul, for Rory McIlroy not to have a birdie. I mean, that's a big surprise.
Yeah, it's probably the standout comment from that match, but you know, Dustin Johnson and Ricky Fowler were very comfortable with their win.
And afterwards, they spoke with Dave Farah.
Dustin, well played. Great start to the week, to the 3 days.
Yeah, absolutely. It was, you know, we knew we were going out in a tough match. You know, Rory and Torbjörn are both really good players, and we knew me and him were both going to have to play well if we wanted to get a point this morning. And, yeah, we both did. We both played great, and, you know, it was a tough match, but we ended up, you know, victorious.
And, Ricky, a quick word about this special Ryder Cup atmosphere and revisiting it. It's quite something out here.
It's great, you know, being here and, you know, just outside Paris, crowds are great. They're energetic. Obviously, you know, pulling for the home team a bit more, but they're fun to play in front of. They're, you know, they've been respectful. They obviously enjoy good golf. So we had fun. DJ and I partnered well today, took care of what we needed to do. It was going to be a tough match regardless, and glad we could get off to a good start.
Yeah, it was the first point put on the board, that match for Team USA. Match three saw the good friends from their childhood days, Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas, team up against Paul Casey and Tyrrell Hatton. It was the match where the USA were up in most. They got three up early on in that game, but back came Casey and Hatton with a birdie barrage, and it went all the way down to the 18th hole. In the end, the USA winning one up, and it just showed you, we thought that early on was a guarantee for Team USA because Europe had actually been up in a few of the matches early on, Matt. But it just shows you these four ball matches can go one way or the other.
Absolutely. And it seemed as though Jordan Spieth had found himself. He had found Jordan Spieth again. When he gets very technical and he starts to do setup and lines, he starts to paint by numbers instead of that putter becoming a paintbrush and painting a masterpiece.
Yeah, I mean, I think he had, six putts in the first seven holes because he had a chip in as well along the way. It really was a brilliant performance, particularly with the putter from Spieth on that front nine. But Casey and Hatton then, the defeated duo for Europe afterwards, Sue Thurl caught up with them.
Commiserations, that really was a match of two halves, wasn't it? What a magnificent comeback you staged on that back nine, Paul.
Thank you. Yeah, we needed to. Full credit to Jordan and JT. The golf they played in the front nine was really good stuff. So I needed to do something. We needed to do something, and we did. I mean, I made a couple, and we dovetailed. Tyrrell made that great one on 13. And, we just a little bit cold with the putter today. Otherwise, we couldn't have given them a better match. But it is what it is.
Tyrrell, you did work together really well. The teamwork was fantastic and you came to the party at just the right times, almost but not quite on the 18th. But what will your memories as a rookie making his debut be of today?
Well, I was quite happy with how I played. Obviously, I hit a few loose shots today, like everyone else will. But overall, I played some really good golf. It's just I couldn't hold a single putt today, which is frustrating because I'd been putting nicely in practice. So it's just how it goes sometimes. I think me and Paul did well as a team, although we didn't quite get the half point, which is just one of those things. But like Paul said, we've got a lot of good golf ahead of us and hopefully we can do well.
Yeah, it was a very tight match and it really was an excellent battle that swung one way and the other. There was plenty of drama as well in match number four where Mollywood, Francesco Molinari and Tommy Fleetwood saw off the combination of Patrick Reed and Tiger Woods. Matt, you were out in that match, and it was Tommy Fleetwood with those magical putts late on that really got them over the line.
A microcosm of the day, really, because it was a story of two halves. Tiger Woods went out on fire. And again, it's hard to keep exact score when it's four balls, but by my calculation, Tiger was four under on his outward nine. Patrick Reed was one under. Tommy Fleetwood one over, and Francesco Molinari level on the outward nine. After that, the fortune switched the other way. Consider the fact that Fleetwood and Molinari were two down after 10, and they come back to win this thing. Quite remarkable.
Yeah, those putts, were they on 15 and 16? I mean, the roars as well that they sent out. It was...
Well, even Molinari in 11 and 12, when he made a couple of birdies too. It was a remarkable combination.
Particularly with Europe, looking like they may be swept here in terms of the opening morning four balls. That was... And maybe in hindsight, looking at what happens the rest of the day, that a significant result?
I think so. What I saw in the two players in Fleetwood and Molinari, and then we saw it in the afternoon as well, is that Francesco Molinari is no flash. He just does what he has to do. Tommy Fleetwood's just a superstar. He has that it factor that he can do things you don't expect him to.
Well, let's get some reaction from those Europeans, starting with Fleetwood.
Just a great morning. We have to go again in not very long, but the whole experience, the whole morning, the crowd, being out there with Fran, holding a couple of putts that got the crowd going, just an amazing morning.
I love him. I simply love him. It's been an amazing morning. The crowd has been incredible all morning. And they, when I hold that putt at 11, definitely that kind of changed the tide and feels great. But obviously, we're behind as a team, so we need to keep grinding and get some more points.
Yeah, bromance developing there, isn't there, between Tommy Fleetwood and Francesco Molinari. It only gets stronger as well with what happens in the afternoon foursomes as well. But after the four balls, the scoreboard read Europe 1, USA 3. So to the foursomes. And, well, it was blue all the way. Allez les bleus, as they like to say here in France. First of all, Henrik Stenson and Justin Rose beating Dustin Johnson and Ricky Fowler 3-2. The first four holes were halved, but then just before the turn, winning 5, 6 and 7, Europe stretched ahead, were never caught from them. For Stenson and Rose, Paul, it's a combination that's had such success in the past. I suppose only natural that Thomas put them back together here.
Yeah, powerful pairing. Was surprised that they weren't there in the morning, but they quickly went 5 up. Justin Johnson and Ricky Fowler hit back with a couple of wins, but it was too little too late, and it was a 3-2 win for the Europeans.
Yeah, let's hear from the duo of Henrik Stenson and first Justin Rose.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, whenever you go out against some of the world's best players on the other side, you deserve nothing. You've got to earn every point. Nothing is given out there. But it was a great, you know, for me to come out and play with Henrik, someone I've had a lot of success with on the golf course, was the perfect scenario for me after, like you said, a tough loss this morning.
Yeah, it's always nice when you take down two class players like Ricky and Dustin, but the whole American team's got some heavy players. So it's, you know, every point is hard to get, and we're just very delighted to get this one home.
Great for the team to recover and fresh legs in the morning. So, you know, that was obviously our goal, was to try and finish the match as soon as you can, because after a long day of 36 holes, you know, you want to play as little golf as possible.
Yeah, a jubilant crowd you can hear behind, because, you know, we know this was one of four victories for Team Europe, and you could hear the ole, ole, oles behind them. You were out watching match number two, weren't you, Paul? Rory McIlroy and Ian Poulter, who didn't get off to the best of starts against Bubba Watson and Webb Simpson, but in the end, it didn't matter.
It didn't, no. Ian Poulter hit the opening tee shot into the water. They lost that hole. They lost the third hole, 2 down after 3. But then Ian Poulter really got back into things. Rory ably assisted him, and there was only one more hole won by the American team, and a 4-2 win was really comfortable for Poulter and McIlroy, and that's what it looked.
And if that wasn't enough for them winning that match afterwards, they got to speak with Ron Jones.
Rory, Ian, what a great win.
Yeah, great win. Just what we needed after this morning. You know, the board wasn't as blue as we wanted it to be. But we, you know, we went again. You know, we regrouped. We had a bit of lunch. I did a little bit of practice on the range. And then, you know, I was looking forward to going out this afternoon with this guy by my side. We've had great experiences and great matches before in Ryder Cups in Medina and at Glen Eagles. And, you know, once we got word a couple of days ago that we were going to play together, I was very excited about it.
And Ian, you didn't have the greatest start, did you?
No, I don't think we got off to the best of starts. But, you know, foursomes is difficult, especially on a golf course like this, especially as windy as it was when we got on the golf course. So, you know, we knew it was going to be a long round of golf. And, you know, just hit the right shots at the right time, put it in play, put them under pressure, and you know, I thought we could come out on top, and we did.
Yeah, brilliant performance from McIlroy and Poulter. Noren and Garcia then saw off the duo of Phil Mickelson and Bryson DeChambeau. Sergio Garcia, Matt, was a controversial pick, but he took the Swedish rookie under his arm. They combined brilliantly, and you know, for Mickelson and DeChambeau, you know, Phil, there's a lot of talk about him. Bryson has had a brilliant FedEx series, but they really couldn't get into this match.
Yeah, I think there were surprises had on both sides, as you just duly outlined. For Sergio Garcia, that was his 10th foursome match win. That now puts him one shy of the all-time record, Bernhard Langer. When you think about that, it's pretty impressive. 10-3-3 overall, but I agree with you. No, I don't think anybody expected that Phil Mickelson or Bryson would come out and do what they did.
Yeah, I mean,
don't think they were surprised that Sergio performed.
Yeah, they were 7 down after 9 holes.
That's remarkable.
I mean, that's a little embarrassing, isn't it?
I agree.
Yeah, a brilliant performance, of course, from Noren and Garcia. Take nothing away from them. Let's hear from the Super Swede and the Super Spaniard, who both spoke to Dave Farah.
Sergio, you first of all, well played. That must have been some feeling.
Yeah, I know. I've always said it, Ryder Cup, there's nothing like it. And, you know, I got an amazing partner. He played amazing. I think the front nine we played was in foursomes on this course with the wind that it was blowing was spectacular. It was something that I will never forget, and I'm sure Alex won't want either.
Yeah, word from you, Alex, Ryder Cup debut. Not that quite easy, isn't it?
No, it was. I mean, I've never been this nervous throughout the round. You know, it's so special, and I didn't know how special it was going to be until you step on that first tee and you got to pull off the shots, and it's just, it's something special. And then, you know, it was really nice to get paired with Sergio. You know, we played great. We didn't miss many shots on that front nine, and then, you know, I missed one on 10, he missed one, and that's it. And so we were, I mean, it was a great day, you know, so I'm very, very happy to get the point.
Yeah, they can hear again that jubilant atmosphere behind them as they were talking. Francesco Molinari and Tommy Fleetwood, the only victorious pair from the morning. Four balls at it again in the foursomes, beating Jordan Spieth and Justin Thomas. 5-4. Matt, another match that you were watching, and a similar story to what was going on elsewhere.
Yeah, but it was a different story than what happened in the morning with Francesco Molinari and Tommy Fleetwood, because they were never out of it in this match. They were never in any risk. They just played that game that they play, which is the steadiness of Francesco Molinari and the flash that Tommy Fleetwood is capable of. Consider the fact that Molinari came in with an overall Ryder Cup record of 0-4-2. He won twice today. I told you before this thing started that Molinari is not the player that he was before this week, and he's proven it.
He is the Open champion after all. What a performance from him at Carnoustie. Same today, and what a rookie display from Tommy Fleetwood. So the overall scoreline now at the end of day one is Europe 5, USA 3. I mean, Paul, there's some interesting decisions for both captains to make, and for the players themselves, you know, there's one or two that will be keen to put some wrongs right on Saturday at this Ryder Cup.
Yeah, I don't think there'll be a player in the 24 that won't want to go out and play in any of the sessions. But obviously, Thomas Bjorn will be the happy of the two captains, I'm sure, going to dinner this evening.
So how does the European captain feel after that first day? Thomas Bjorn spoke with Matt.
After this morning, may we ask, what was the messages in the team room? What was the communication, the emotions there?
We keep going, you know, we keep going, and we didn't have a great morning, and players were disappointed, but they know it's a long way till the end, and it's a marathon, and so, you know, we trust and believe in each other, and they did a great job this afternoon, but they also understand that now we go back and we regroup for tomorrow.
How much was an emotional roller coaster for you? Because you're laughing as I ask the question, but you're not hitting the shots, right?
No, but it's tough. You know, it's tough when you're out there and things go against you, and you feel like, you know, I felt like this morning there was a couple of guys that played extremely well and didn't get anything out of it, and that's, you live and breathe with your players, and that's tough, and then you have an afternoon where everything goes right. So, you know, that's part and parcel of being a Ryder Cup captain, and that's okay. You know, it's I can sleep next week.
Yeah, Thomas Bjorn, I mean, he's got to be absolutely delighted, Matt. You spoke with him there, but he's got to keep everyone's feet on the ground and remember that it's just day one.
Oh, there's no doubt about that. As you've noted, it's 5-3. And you have to remember the emotions in the American locker room right now, which everyone's assuming that heads are bowed and that they feel in some way very badly about what took place today. And I'm sure they do. But there's also the potential that what's happening there is they fired up a fire within. So you have to be careful on how this goes competitively.
Yeah, you've got to remember that it's day one. We've been here before, Ryder Cup. We've seen scenarios where anything and everything can happen. But as a first day, Paul, I mean, we had a bit of everything, didn't we, really?
We did. There was a lot of excitement. We saw some rookies out there actually playing really well. Nobody melted away in the atmosphere that was out there, which is different from any other event that these players will play in. I thought the putting levels and skills were probably not quite there. I didn't see as many putts hold or hear as many big cheers. I'm sure we'll see that differently going forward, and we'll start to see these great players hold putts as the weekend goes on.
Matt, it's a tough golf course.
It is a tough golf course. It was tough conditions this afternoon, too. A lot of crosswinds. The wind kicked up over 10 miles per hour with some gusts beyond that. That's at least half a club, maybe more. So the golf course is one. I don't know about your matches, Paulie, but I saw a number of different holes won with pars today.
Well, as of now, we don't know the four balls, the partnerships for Saturday, but go to RyderCup.com and you'll see the announcements there. What we do know is the first tee time will be at 10 past 8. If it was anything like Friday morning, we'll be in for a treat.
I mean, absolutely.
It was noisy, as you'd expect.
It was great.
When you've got, 10,000 people almost around that first tee.
Oh, there was way more than 10,000 people around that first tee. There were 7,000 in the grandstands alone, and then there were thousands on the hills and down the rope line. I'm sure the atmosphere will be as exciting in day two as it was in day one, but that setting is fantastic.
USA with favourites coming into the event. Who's favourite right now?
You can only go off the scoreline, and certainly Team Europe will be the happier after day one, but it's not all finished on day one.
Yeah, no, it's not at all. Matt, Paul, thanks so much for your contribution.
Pleasure.
to us here on day one of the Ryder Cup 2018. It really was a memorable one that we've been treated to here at this 2018 Ryder Cup. The momentum swinging one way, then the next, and it leaves the match intriguingly balanced, doesn't it, with those scores, Europe 5, USA 3. Only one pair have won, two out of two, of course. That was Messrs. Molinari and Fleetwood. Congratulations to them. Don't forget, you can join us for what's sure to be a dramatic second day from Le Golf National. We're on air from 7:30 CET, that is, with full uninterrupted commentary of both the morning four balls and the afternoon foursome matches. Thanks for getting in touch with us. Keep your emails coming, radio@RyderCupEurope.com, or get in touch with us on our Twitter handle at Ryder Cup. Use the hashtag Ryder Cup Radio. You're listening to us on RyderCup.com, the official Ryder Cup apps across North America on Sirius XM Satellite Radio, as well as on TalkSport 2 in the UK. We can't wait to be back with you on Saturday morning. But for myself, Richard Kaufman, and the rest of the Ryder Cup Radio team, bye-bye for now.
You've been listening to Ryder Cup Radio, presented by Econocom.